1. We want to thank all of you for being here with us again this evening. If you will be opening your Bibles to the book of Acts, we're going to notice here the account of Philip in Samaria preaching the gospel. But before we get there, we need to notice that Jesus gave his apostles the command to go into all the world and to make disciples of all nations. In fact, we read this in Mark's account of the Great Commission. In chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In Matthew's account, in chapter 28 and verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He said that they would be witnesses for him in Jerusalem and all Judea. We see in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, after Jesus has been crucified and just before he ascends back into heaven, he says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth, even to the remotest parts of the earth." By the time we get to chapter 7, several years have already passed by. And at that point, the church is still basically in Jerusalem. Now, while the apostles had not moved on with this command to preach to the world, we don't know. I'm pretty sure it's not that they didn't understand his commands, even though too much was still being done in Jerusalem. They may have thought there was too much still to be done there. So by the time we close chapter 7, with the stoning of Stephen, we're introduced there also to a man by the name of Saul, who readily agreed to the stoning of Stephen, to the death of Stephen. So we come to Acts chapter 1 then, and it says, "Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." They were scattered. Now the Great Commission is about to be fulfilled. Go into all the world and teach all nations. The stoning of Stephen had been a spontaneous response on the part of the Jewish synod, the Jewish council there. When this persecution arose, we see in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 that the members of the church were scattered. Verse 1 tells us also that they went throughout the regions of Samaria. And in verse 3 of chapter 8, we understand that that's because Saul, who we have been introduced to here in the end of chapter 7 and the beginning of chapter 8, was making havoc of the church. Then we're reminded of a man by the name of Philip in Acts chapter 8 and verses 25 through 8, 5 verse 3. I'll get it out in a minute. In chapter 8, verse 5 through verse 25. In verses 5 through 8, we see there that he's in Samaria and he's healing the Samaritan crowds. He's healing them of their afflictions, their sicknesses and whatnot. In verses 9 through 13, we see the conversion of not only the Samaritans, but a magician named Simon, a sorcerer. And in verses 14 through 25, we see that Simon attempted to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power that the apostles had. So the gospel is being spread. And at the end of this chapter, and beginning in verse 26, we see that Philip then is picked up, told by God to go and meet with a man that we know as the Ethiopian eunuch. Here we see, in this account, of Philip and the eunuch. In the passage, the text tells us that an angel spoke to Philip. And the angel told him to arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. That's what we read in verse 26. And it's interesting, as this angel speaks to Philip, that Philip is directed now by God to a new area to preach. Sometimes it appears, especially in the book of Acts, that man has to be prompted to go and do the work of God. And sometimes we may have to be prompted, poked, prodded a little bit, provoked, as Hebrews 10 and verse 24 says, to go about doing the work of God. Now, history tells us that there were several roads leading out of Jerusalem going to Gaza, but this one was less traveled. It was a deserted road. And as we see here, Philip, when he's told this by the angel to arise and go toward the south, he didn't, as some people like to say, he didn't dilly-dally. He got up and he left immediately. The text tells us there that he got up and went immediately because the angel told him to go. Verse 27 tells us, "So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, is sitting there, riding along in his chariot, and he's reading." Now, just as a side note, Candace is not the woman's name. That's not the queen's name, but it's more like a title, like Caesar or Pharaoh. And he was an important man. He was in charge of all of her treasury. So he had her confidence. And you might consider him to be like Nehemiah, the cupbearer for the king. Here he had the confidence of this queen. She trusted him. She trusted him with all of her treasury, like Joseph in Egypt. She trusted him. She allowed him to go to Jerusalem to worship because of her trust in him. But we see here that he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. He had been to Jerusalem, verse 27, to worship. And Philip rushes to him. We're told that he's returning from Jerusalem, verse 27. And Philip goes to him in verse 30 and says, "Do you understand what you are reading? Do you understand?" You know, sometimes in our lives, we become timid, shy, afraid to ask someone if they need help studying the Word of God. Sometimes that may be because of a fear of persecution or, you know, we just are afraid to ask anybody about their understanding of the Word of God. But here we read in verse 31, the eunuch responds. Remember, Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" He's willing to study. He's willing to study. Now, if Philip had lingered in Samaria when the angel told him to get up and go, he might have missed this opportunity. Again, we see God's providence here. It's a command by God for him to get up and go, but it's also God guiding Philip through the opportunity to preach the gospel. But he asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading? How can I unless someone guides me?" And we read in verse 35 there that Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. So Philip began where he was at, where the eunuch was already studying, and began to preach Jesus. Now the text tells us he was studying in Isaiah. So there you go. You can look at the Old Testament and read about Jesus. So Philip preaches Jesus to this eunuch beginning in the Old Testament. In verses 36 through 40, we want to take a moment and read this from the book of Acts, chapter 8. And we read in verse 36, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him." So we're going to stop right there, and we're going to notice the response of this eunuch. Remember, he had an interest in knowing who Jesus was. He had an interest in knowing what the Word of God was. And Philip took advantage of that interest and began to teach him about Jesus. And he taught him about Jesus, and they come to a point where there's an ample amount of water, because the text says they both went down into the water. But from the easy-to-read version, the eunuch exclaims, "Look, here is water. What is stopping me from being baptized?" Again, that's the easy-to-read version in verse 36. Can you see the excitement in his voice? He's been studying on his own and he needs help. Philip comes along and teaches him about Christ, beginning at the passage of Scripture in Isaiah, and he taught him Jesus, and he came to an understanding that he needed to be baptized. And there was excitement in his voice. Look, here's water. What is stopping me from being baptized? Listen, read the text, understand the text, how this man was excited. Here is enough water. Let me do it now. Let me be baptized now. Brethren, we need to have that excitement in our lives. That we want to serve God now. We should want to obey God now. We should want to be baptized now. There was some semblance of him wanting to do this immediately. You notice the text didn't tell us that Philip said, well, now, when you get home to Ethiopia, you have another one of the eunuchs baptize you in a clean pool of water. He didn't say that. The eunuch said, I want to be baptized now. Here's enough water. What's stopping me from doing this? Well, in verse 37, you notice that Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. You can. If you believe with all your heart, so you have the eunuch's confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, verse 37. Verse 38 tells us that both then went down into the water, implying that there was an immersion. It doesn't say anything, but they found a cup of water and they sprinkled water on the eunuch's head or they poured oil on it. They went down into the water. Both of them did. Both went down into the water. But now I want you to notice the next verse. Verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Verse 39. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch was rejoicing now that he was a Christian. Now that he's been baptized, he's been saved, he went on his way rejoicing. There's some joy in his life. He is a happy person. He's happy because now he has so much to be joyous about. I mean, you think about this eunuch. In this chariot on this deserted road, he had learned about Jesus. And now his whole life has changed. He's no longer going to have to go to Jerusalem to worship. He's going to be able to worship Jesus in Ethiopia. So now his entire life has changed. Not only in that way, but now he's been saved. And that's what Peter says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. He answered that question that was asked of Peter. And now he's also been added to the Lord's church. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and again in verse 47. We see there that those who were saved were being added to the Lord's church. God was adding them. And now this eunuch, he's got something to be happy about. He is in the Lord's church. And we also see from Revelation 20 and verse 15, now his name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Also from Titus 1 and verse 2, he has the hope of eternal life. But not only that, he is now a first-class citizen in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You think about this. He's a eunuch from Ethiopia, and he's having to work for this queen, Candace. Now, he has her trust, but he's still subject to what she would have him to do. But now, in the kingdom of Christ, he is a first-class citizen. In fact, when you go back to where he's reading in Isaiah 53, Isaiah says in verse 3 through 5, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. The eunuch had something to be rejoicing about. Irenaeus wrote that the eunuch returned to Ethiopia and spread the story of Christ throughout the land. We don't know that for a fact. We can't know for sure what he did when returning home. But Luke tells us here that he was rejoicing as he and Philip parted. I want to suggest to you that we are expected to rejoice. Our lesson is just now beginning. We need to be understanding of the fact that as Christians, we are to be the happiest people in the world. And it amazes me sometimes that you can go by a Christian and shake their hand when you can shake hands and ask them, "How are you doing today?" "Oh, I'm fine." "Really? You don't sound like it. What's wrong?" "Well, let me tell you about my problems." I understand all of us have problems, but we still need to be rejoicing in the fact that heaven will be our home, that our sins have been washed away. Remember the eunuch, he had so much to be joyous about. He had learned about Jesus. Now his whole life has been changed. He's been saved from his past sins, and he's now in the presence of God. And he's been added to the Lord's church. His name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He now has eternal hope. And now he's a first-class citizen in the kingdom of Christ. We, today, as Christians, are expected to rejoice. We understand what was true of the disciples was also true of the eunuch. And no doubt he went about preaching the word. That's what they did in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. We need to be rejoicing as children of God, as Christians who have our sins forgiven, who have this hope of heaven when this world is no more. We need to be rejoicing. This word, rejoice, is found 238 times throughout the Old and New Testament. It must be something important. It must be something that God's Word wants us to place emphasis on in our life. I think that Christians ought to be the happiest people in the world. And yet we walk around like dead lice is falling off of us, like we're just down in the pits. Even though bad things happen in our lives, we're going through this pandemic, we still need to be rejoicing. We still ought to understand that we are the happiest people in the world because of everything that we receive from Christ. We need to be going about our way rejoicing as the eunuch did. The question is, what about us? Are we rejoicing? You know, if you are a child of God, you can rejoice. But if you're here in the sound of my voice, you know that you need to become a Christian. You know that you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Then do so. And you too can rejoice that now you have a place in the kingdom of God. You're a first-class citizen. Your name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have the hope of eternal life. You have your sins forgiven. But it may be that you're here today and you've done all that. Keep saying today, nobody's here tonight. But if you're within the sound of my voice and you need to confess sins of wrongdoing, then I encourage you to contact me or one of the elders, and we'll assist you in whatever way we can. If you need to be baptized, don't delay. Notice again the story of the eunuch. Look, here's water. What stops me from being baptized? He understood the urgency of it needing to be done right now. And I pray that you will too.